Our scripture lesson today is taken from the second chapter of Genesis, verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Our next scripture is taken from the third chapter of Genesis, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves.
This is the first Sunday in Lent. It's the 40 days. Actually, it's 46 days long because Sundays are not technically in Lent. Lent is the 40 days before Easter, not counting Sundays. We're not supposed to say Gloria or Alleluia during the service today. We did both. Yeah, the Lent is an ancient service within the church. Started well before the Middle Ages. And it was a time that that people would pray, they would fast, they would repent, they would give alms even more than usual. And they would celebrate the atonement. That's a word that's always, it's always bothered me in the Christian faith. The atonement, that Jesus would atone for my sins. That somehow there was a justice that needed to be served. I would rather look at it, because as good disciples, we are each told to interpret Scripture, right? I would rather look at it rather than atonement as at-one-ment. Spelled the same, but it's a little bit different in that the birth, the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus brings us into relationship with God at-one-ment in a whole new way. This Genesis passage is our lectionary Old Testament passage for the day. It's the reading for the first Sunday in Lent. And what does it record? The first sin in the Bible, right? Isn't it? I mean, that's the definition of it. It is a passage about the origin of sin. Last year, this sermon from the same passage, I entitled, "It's All Eve's Fault," which in its own way was a true statement. Let's take a look at what this scripture really says. God gave Adam and Eve in this story freedom, right? With a certain exception. God gave them freedom except for this one tree that was in the center of the garden. What did God tell them? If you eat it on that day, you will die. Okay. And so they tilled the soil a while and they lived well. And then a serpent comes along. We put Satan as the source, right? I mean, we don't. It's nowhere in there. Nowhere in the original language. It was a snake. It was a serpent. As pure and simple as that. In fact, it's described as one of the creatures God had made. Not as a fallen angel or any demonic power, but as a snake. As any other snake, except for the fact that the snake could talk. So, the snake goes to Eve and starts questioning her. What is this that God told you could do and you couldn't do? And Eve told the snake forthrightly, we can eat of anything in this garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because we'll die. What did the serpent tell Eve? No, you won't. No, you won't. If you eat that, you will know good and evil. You will be like God. What happened? Yeah. Once really early in my ministry, I did a dialogue sermon with a young woman who was also in seminary with her name's Beverly, and she walked at the beginning of the sermon. She walked out onto the chancel, eating an apple, and I was sitting there minding my own business, and she walks up to me and she says, that's good. Try it." It seemed like such a nifty way to present that scripture. I've never done it that way again. In Eastland, Texas, that was not appreciated as high drama. So what was the result? Eve listens to the serpent. She takes the fruit. She eats it. Good. Takes it to Adam. He eats it. Good. And all of a sudden they know things they didn't know before. What did they know? Yeah, they knew they were naked. Why didn't they know it before? Do you think? It's because in the laws of the Old Testament, nakedness in and of itself was a sin. Okay? So before then they had no knowledge of sin, did they? Helen Keller once wrote, "It is good that we endure hard times. For without hard times, we would never no joy." Can you think of anyone who endured harder times in her young life than Helen Keller? So Adam and Eve in the garden, in the beginning, had no knowledge of good and evil. They had no knowledge of good, did they? What was the sin the result of having been given? What was it? Free will. This is a story about free will. Now remember, in Christian Church Disciples of Christ, we're going to find everyone in here from ardent biblical fundamentalists who are inerrantists in Scripture all the way through, my good friends, the wacky Unitarians. Oh, now admit it. Some of you are kind of... Okay. And everyone in between. Here is my notion of this Scripture. If we try to take this and push it into a literalist interpretation, we have to say, first of all, well, the snake talked. Second of all, God wasn't truthful with Adam and Eve, and the serpent was. Right? He said, on that day you will die. Now, that is the hoops that theologians jump through to get there, but that is not what the original language said. It said, on that day, you will die. Okay. One of my favorite seminary professors, he went on to be the dean of the school and later the chancellor at TCU, his name is Dr. Bill Tucker. And one day in class, he came on us and he said, students, I take the Bible way too seriously to take it literally. Okay, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you just to let that idea kind of float through you a little bit. Is the Bible true? Yes. It is full of spiritual truth. Is the Bible a good textbook for science, for geology, for history? Not necessarily. It's not. Okay, enough of that. So this passage is a passage about being set free. Do you want to live in the garden all your life, never knowing good or evil? I'm not sure. Okay. This passage is about blind obedience versus free will. Can we be obedient to God and also practice free will at the same time? I think so. So the real question here, is there sin? This was about the origin of sin, right? Is there sin in the world? Well, yeah. I saw a story this past week. It broke my heart. It was about a young girl, a preteen, who was abused, tortured, and finally killed after months and years of abuse and torture. She was finally killed by her grandmother, who was punishing her all that time. That's evil. We can look here and there and say, yes, that is evil personified. There are children who go to bed hungry every night in a world where there is plenty of food. Is that a sin? Of course it is. There are refugees from wars because their national leaders are tyrants and murderers. Is that a sin? Of course it is. We can catalog them, but we know that sin is everywhere. ISIS, the inequality that comes. Do you realize that a generation, two generations ago, the president of a company and the lowest paid employee of the company, their salaries were 16 times apart. The highest and the lowest paid person in the company. Do you know that now, in the last census, you know what it is now? 400. 400 times apart. There is an inequality that is growing where fewer and fewer people have more and more of the sum total of the capital and assets and wealth of the world. Now, I'm not poking at you and me. I'm not thinking we're among those. If we've got someone in here who is a part of the top 0.001% of wealth holders, we need to talk. And I'm not even saying that there is an intent to punish people, but the system is growing such that there is such an inequality. There is such an inequality in our systems. That's both democratic, capitalistic, and socialistic systems throughout the world. That's a sin. That's a sin. The sin of addiction. That's a sin. Is it a disease? Yes. But it isn't. It is a sin too. You know what the main medical dilemma is right now in the New England states? You've heard it, and I would not have believed it if I hadn't have read it. Do you know what it is? The main medical dilemma in Connecticut and in Maine, heroin addiction. I saw an interview with a doctor at an ER doc at a hospital up in New Hampshire, and he said, in the old days, I might see one overdose every month. Now I'm seeing 5 a day. There is the sin of addiction. There is the sin of neglect. And the list goes on and on and on. And we could become hopeless, couldn't we? There's a temptation to hopelessness. We are an Easter people. We are an Easter people. So what are we to do? The disciplines of the Lenten season are a good place to begin right here. You remember that little 10-word saying of 2-letter words, if it is to be, it is up to me. We might rearrange that. If it is to be, it is up to us. And to begin right here. What do we do first? What do we do first? Come on, sure, you know that. You know that. What is the first, what do we always do when we are in need? We pray. And I don't mean just a litany of the list of the things we want. I mean pray to be in line with God's will. So we're going to, in our series in the last three Thursdays of Lent, beginning the 23rd, that's part of what we're going to do. We are going to pray together. Then what do we do? Here comes the hard part. We're going to repent. Where we know that we have gone off the rails. And I think we can agree with the letter of Paul that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We will repent of that. We may do it in sort of a formal, symbolic way so that it becomes more graphic to us. And then once you repent, what do you do? If repenting is hard, this sometimes is harder. You make amends. That's good 12-step language. You make amends. The religious might be called penance. You do something to make up for that sin. You do your penance. You make amends. And making amends can be terribly painful, but it is also freeing up. You will never feel so good. I remember when I was in the early days of the 12-step program 27 years ago, and I had to go to those people whom I had harmed, that they didn't even, maybe not even known I had harmed them, and I had to make amends and tell them that. It was hard to do, but it was freeing up. And then what do? Well, in the ancient church, it would be called almsgiving. Once we've made those amends, we give gifts. And so during this Lenten season, we will bring our gifts to the altar with a new level of consciousness of the hopefulness that the gifts represent. And then lastly, it's the atonement. Or at one month, we receive the love of God through Christ into our hearts in a new way, not in a formulaic way, but in a new way, in a relational way. I'm hoping we can do that. Let's take the journey through Lent together. Does anyone need a Lenten devotional book? Have you not gotten one yet? There are a few are on the table in the rear. And what's so wonderful about these, it's the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And all of those devotionals were written by John Calvin, Zwingli, John Wesley. It's a wonderful compendium of the history of our church. Secondly, read your devotional. Hold your church family in prayer during this season. In your time of prayer, hold First Christian Conroe and name each person in your family. Get a directory if you need to, but name them. Hold your church family in prayer. Come together to exercise the spiritual disciplines. We're going to do that on the 23rd, the 30th, and then the first Thursday in April. So keep that in mind. We'll meet at 6:30 for a snack, supper, and a time of devotion and prayer together. Then let the Lenten season prepare you for the joy of Easter. Sin is real, but Jesus is realer. Amen.